Starting now? Okay, great.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Good. Bonsoir. Okay. Well, we missed a day yesterday. A little issue here, I guess. But I hear we're rescheduled for Sunday afternoon, so no problem. Now, the topic I've chosen for this afternoon is really ideal for the situation that's happening right now. We're going to do a study in the book of Daniel. The theme of Daniel is, God rules the nations, do not fear. Does that seem appropriate under the circumstances? I think it does. There are two main messages that I see in the book of Daniel. Number one is God is in control. Now I have a question for you. Raise your hand if you believe that God is in control. I'm glad you're all raising your hand. You're supposed to. But I want to know this. Do you really believe God is in control? Do you really believe that God's in control? I'm glad to hear that, because if you do, it'll have a deep impact on your life. Would your friends agree that you act as if you believe that God is in control? What's your response when things aren't going well? The other message of Daniel is how to stay righteous in a world that's trying to destroy your righteousness before God. The two messages of Daniel correspond to the two parts of Daniel. One part of Daniel is chapters 1 and 3 through 6. Yeah. And these are the practical stories of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how, despite every kind of pressure to compromise their convictions, they refuse to compromise. The other half of Daniel is chapter 2 and 7 through 12. And these are the prophecies and visions of the future. How would these two parts be connected? It's not obvious at first. But from the prophecies of the future, when they are fulfilled, it proves without a doubt that God rules the nations. And if He rules the nations, Can he take care of your situation? Could he give you a job if he wanted you to have one? Or might he take away your job because it's not really what you need right now? So that's the connection between the two parts of Daniel. Now, if you wanted to understand Daniel, think of it this way. Daniel in the Old Testament, Revelation in the New Testament. I considered doing Revelation instead of Daniel for this afternoon session, but then it would have to be 4 or 5 hours long, and I don't think you're prepared to sit for 4 or 5 hours. So let me explain the parallel. The audience of Daniel is the first, second, and third century church undergoing terrible persecution. The audience, the message is, God is in control, God wins, Rome loses. Yes. God wins, Rome loses.
Yeah.
Now with Daniel, the audience is the Jewish people suffering terrible persecution under a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes. And probably you're saying, who's that guy? I never heard of him. That's because this persecution happened in the 2nd century B.C. This terrible king attacked the Jews, sacrificed pigs in the temple, and smeared the pig blood all over the temple. He forced paganism on the Jews and outlawed sacrifice and made circumcision capital punishment. He put a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies.
Okay, il a mis une statue de Dieu Zeus dans le Saint des Saints.
And the face on the statue was the face of Antiochus Epiphanes.
Et la tête de la statue, c'était la tête de ce roi dans le Dieu trois fois saint.
The faithful Jews were hiding in caves. It was a terrible situation.
Alors, les Juifs qui étaient fidèles se cachaient dans les caves. C'était une situation terrible.
The message?
Le message?
God wins. Antiochus Epiphanes loses. God is in control.
Le message, c'est Dieu gagne, Antiochus perd, et Dieu est au contrôle.
All right, now, I'm going to do a little bit of the practical stories because I don't have time.
Okay, je vais faire un peu de l'histoire pratique parce qu'il n'y a pas beaucoup de temps.
And I'm going to go through most of the prophecies because those you need help to understand, okay? So I'm not going to do equal on those two parts.
également les deux parties.
Now I have to give you a little bit of background. This includes what happened after the Old Testament, but before the New Testament. Judah was unfaithful and went after the idols and the false gods. As God warned in Deuteronomy 20 and 29, a foreign king would come and take them captive. His name was Nebuchadnezzar.
28 and 29.
The year is 605 BC. Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into captivity. God told the Jews through Jeremiah 70 years. Daniel was in captivity to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians for 70 years.
Daniel était en captivité avec chez Nebuchadnezzar pour 70 ans.
Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar left behind a king. The Jews rebelled. He came back and partially ruined the city.
Okay, c'est-à-dire Nebuchadnezzar est venu la première fois, les Juifs sont rebellés et il a détruit la cité.
They rebelled again. This time he came back and completely destroyed the city and the temple.
Et après, ils sont encore rebellés cette fois-ci. Là, complètement détruit la cité.
The year 586 BC. 586 BC. Exactly 70 years later, they rebuilt the temple.
Et exactement 70 ans après, ils ont rebâti le temple.
Cyrus came and destroyed Babylon. And that's too loud. Can we turn this part down? Yeah, the monitor's down a little bit. Those are good. Turn these down a little bit. Okay, good. And destroyed Babylon, and then the Persian Empire came in. Years later, Alexander the Great came and he destroyed the Persian Empire. And the Greek empires ruled for over 200 years. It was one of those Greek kings who began the persecution of the Jews, Antiochus Epiphanes. And then the Romans came and they destroyed the Greek Empire. And then, in an obscure town in Galilee, a baby was born. You know the rest of the story, right? I don't need to tell you that story. Now, first, I'm going to spend a little bit of time in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought into Babylon as teenagers. They had no Bible. They had no church. They had no discipler. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make them into good Babylonians. But they refused to compromise.
Mais ils ont refusé de se compromettre.
In chapter 1, he offered them a great job.
Dans chapitre 1, ils ont offert un grand travail.
Just a little compromise, not much, just a little compromise. They said, you can keep your job. We'll never compromise our faith. Teenagers! But that's chapter 1. Now we're in chapter 3. So Nebuchadnezzar sets a giant statue 30 meters high. Covered with gold. Has a huge party. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are invited. Attendance was not voluntary. And he says, when you hear the sound of the horns and all the other instruments, everybody bow down to that statue. If not, I have a fiery furnace over here. Would you have bowed to that statue? Be careful what you say. Paul said, if you think you stand, be careful, maybe you'll fall. I would have said to myself, I'll bow my head, but not my heart. I'll bow my head, but not my heart. What's the big deal? Watch this. Did I just sin? Is that idolatry? Is bowing a sin? If it is, then our Japanese friends are in really big trouble. That's a joke. They're supposed to be laughing. They didn't get the joke, I guess. Sorry. Let's say they did bow to the statue. Let's say they did give honor to this idol. Would they go to hell? What do you think? Raise your hand if you've sinned since you became a Christian. Okay. Are you going to throw the first stone at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I noticed that Moses didn't raise his hand. He's busy writing. I'm just teasing. But that's not the point. The point is, do you believe that God is in control? And if you believe that God is in control, and the world challenges you, don't ever bow. Don't ever compromise in front of the world. The religious world says, you're too committed. You take the Bible too seriously. Come on, relax, take it easy. We say, no. Jesus is Lord of my life. So they made the sounds of those instruments, and tens of thousands bowed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood tall for God. I think this is what the other people were doing. They didn't believe in this statue either. Are you willing to stand up? You're going to stand up for what's right? I remember one time a student of mine was about to be baptized. She was counting the cost. And then her mother called the president of my university. Said, hey, what's going on here? The parents send their children to our school and then you're converting them? It was a little tense. What could I say? Apologize for sharing my faith? Not long afterward, I came up for review. And he would not give me tenure. Tenure, I don't know the French word. Kind of. Basically means I get fired. Next year, he got fired. I got tenure. God is in control. But there's no promise. God doesn't promise that I get to keep my job. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Nebuchadnezzar looks down and says, who are those Jewish teenagers? Drag them up here! And the most powerful man in the world says to three Jewish teenagers, are you serious? You're not going to bow down to my statue? I give you one more chance. We'll make the noise of the instruments one more time and then you bow. Otherwise, what God can save you from my flames? Think about it. Three teenagers, the most powerful man in the world, a fiery furnace. His God had already defeated their God. The items from their temple were in his treasury. All the visible things say, good idea to bow down to that statue. I really love their response. It's in Daniel chapter 3.
J'aime beaucoup cette partie, Daniel chapitre 3.
Verses 16 through 18.
Versets 16 à 18.
Yeah.
Okay. Alors, Shadrach, Meshach et Abednego répliquèrent au roi Nebuchadnezzar. Nous n'avons pas besoin de te répondre là-dessus. Voici, notre Dieu que nous servons peut nous délivrer de la fournaise ardente et nous délivrera de ta main, ô roi. Sinon, sache, ô roi, que nous ne servirons pas tes dieux et que nous n'adorerons pas la statue d'or que tu as élevée.
I love the boldness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
J'aime le courage de Shadrach, Meshach et Abednego.
They looked the king right in the eye.
Ils ont regardé le roi droit dans les yeux.
And they said boldly, we don't have to defend ourselves.
Ils ont dit avec courage, on n'a pas besoin de se défendre.
Jehovah can save us from the flames.
Dieu peut nous sauver des flammes.
And he will. And he will.
Et il va le faire.
But even if he doesn't, it makes no difference. We're not going to bow down to your statue.
Et même si il nous sauve pas, ça ne fait aucune différence parce que nous n'allons pas nous agenouiller devant ta statue.
Some of us are in pretty tough situations. Maybe our child is unfaithful. Maybe we have cancer. Lost a job. Maybe we live in a country where the future seems to always be in doubt. Where it seems like the forces of evil are in control. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at the outward circumstances and said, I don't care the way it seems, God rules the nations.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ont regardé les situations externes et se sont dit, n'importe ce que nous voyons, nous savons que Dieu est au contrôle.
Did they expect to escape the flames? I don't think so. Not that I know of. So remember, God rules the nations. Whether he saves you from your hard situation or not. What if I lost my job because I share with my student? That would be awesome! Wouldn't that be great? To get fired for preaching the word? Is that the worst you can do to me? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, the worst you can do to us is throw us into the flames. Nebuchadnezzar was even more furious. He says, make the flames seven times as hot. The boys were being dragged off to the flames. It wasn't too late. They could say, wait, never mind. Like the guy in the shops today, I thought he was going to say, never mind, and come down on his price. He never came down on his price. While they're being dragged to the flames, they're probably thinking, I'll never see my parents again. Everything I hoped for disappeared. But they didn't raise their hand, they were thrown into the flames. And God saved them from the flames. The Christians being persecuted by Rome could remember this situation. The Jews being persecuted by Antiochus Epiphanes could remember this situation. So can you. So can the church in Congo. God could do amazing things here. But we have to stay faithful. Now I will start on the prophecies and visions of the future.
Maintenant, nous allons parler des prophéties et les visions du futur.
Now I'm going to do some summarizing.
Je vais faire un résumé, des résumés.
Otherwise, we'll go for 2 hours, and I don't think you're ready to go for 2 hours.
Parce que sinon, on serait ici pour 2 heures, et je ne crois pas que vous voulez rester ici pour 2 heures.
The first vision is Daniel chapter 2.
La première vision, c'est Daniel chapitre 2.
Interesting, in this case, it's a dream that Nebuchadnezzar has.
Intéressant que cette fois-ci, là, c'est le rêve que Nebuchadnezzar a eu.
He has this amazing vision.
Il a une vision formidable.
It was like a religious experience.
C'était comme une expérience religieuse.
He wakes up and he says, "Oh my gods." No, de gods, plural.
Yeah, okay.
And so he says to his astrologers and magicians, his religious people, tell me the dream. Tell me the meaning of the dream. They say, great, just tell us the dream, we'll tell you the meaning. Nebuchadnezzar knows they're all a bunch of fakes. They're playing religious games, like our Pentecostal friends do. They have these pretend miracles. It's a bunch of fake stuff. It's not real. But this time, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to go along with that. He says, no, you tell me the dream first, and then you tell me the interpretation. Otherwise, I'll kill you all. No fair! Nobody ever expected us to do that. So you want a real miracle. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel were in that group. They too were going to be killed. But Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, I can't interpret the dream, but there's a God in heaven who can. Remember, when your boss calls you in, or your family member calls you in, give God the credit. So he goes away and prays, and God shows him the dream and the interpretation. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, you saw a massive statue. Head of gold, chest of silver, stomach of bronze, legs of iron. Gold, silver, bronze, iron. Fair. And then there was a little rock, a tiny rock. And it grew and grew and grew. And it hit that statue and smashed it to pieces. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, oh my Jehovah, there is a God in heaven. And then Nebuchadnezzar told him the interpretation. He said, the head of gold, that's you, that's your empire. The chest of silver is an empire that will succeed you. We know that it's Persia. Then will come an even greater empire. That's the bronze. That's Greece. Then they will become an iron empire. stronger than all the other empires. Yes, it'll destroy them all. But it had two legs. One was like iron, strong as iron. The other one was mixed with clay. And it fell apart. And Daniel said, this fourth kingdom will be a divided kingdom. One half strong, one half weak. Now, was Rome a divided kingdom? Yes. After 395 after Christ. 50 years later, Western Rome fell. Eastern Rome continued for 1,000 years. Now, during the time of the Roman kings, as Daniel said, another kingdom started. It started very, very small. But it grew and grew. It smashed the statue and destroyed it completely. And he said, this kingdom will endure forever. Was there an empire established during the time of Rome that's still around? A kingdom that destroyed Rome? Yeah, you're citizens in that kingdom. So Daniel just described the history of the world for the next 2,000 years. That's pretty impressive. Daniel is a book unique amongst all books ever written. It's a history book of the future. Now, don't forget the point. First of all, this proves the Bible is inspired by God, obviously. But don't forget the message to you. If God can raise up kingdoms and tell the future for the next 2,000 years, do you think he can solve your issue? Do you think he can meet the needs of the church here? And then there's Daniel 7. Daniel 7 is much better than Daniel 2. I'm going to skip a few details. This vision came 55 years later. Daniel is now 70 years old. He sees four beasts, four animals. In this vision, the four animals are the same as the four parts of the statue. The first animal is a lion. That's Babylon. And on the walls of Babylon, there were paintings of lions all the way around the city. Then he says, there's another animal. It's a bear. And the bear had three ribs in its mouth. What's that about? Well, that's Cyrus. That's Persia. Guess how many great empires were defeated by Cyrus?
Devinez combien de grands empires ont été anéantis par Cyrus.
Three, of course.
Là, trois. Il a battu trois.
That's the three ribs in his mouth.
Et ça, c'est les trois côtes dans sa bouche.
Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt.
Il y avait Lydia, Babylon et Egypte.
Next is the fourth beast. And it has four wings.
Third.
It has four wings.
Okay. La troisième bête a quatre ailes.
That's Greece, and I'll tell you about the four wings later. But this vision is about the fourth beast. He says, and in front of me was this terrible beast with iron teeth. You know what empire this is already, don't you? It says, there were 10 horns sticking out of his head. And then there was an 11th horn. A little horn. And he was boasting, I'm so great, greater than your other horns. And then he knocked down three horns. Three horns. The animal must have thought, that's a really weird vision. Am I supposed to write that down? I'll tell you, everything happened exactly as Daniel saw. So then an angel gave Daniel the interpretation of the dream. Let's read verses 23 through 25.
Daniel 7, hein?
Daniel 7, 23 through 25, yeah.
Ok, verset 21 à 23. Je vis cette corne faire la guerre aux saints et l'emporter sur eux, jusqu'au moment où l'ancien des jours vint donner droit aux saints du très haut, et le temps arriva où les saints furent en possession du royaume. Il me parla ainsi. Le quatrième animal, c'est un quatrième royaume qui existera sur la terre, différent de tous les royaumes, et qui dévorera toute la terre et la brûlera et la brisera.
Yeah. So here's the interpretation of the dream. The 10 horns are 10 kings of the fourth kingdom. Was Rome a kingdom? Well, for the first 700 years, it was a republic. They had no kings. When Daniel wrote his prophecy, Rome was a tiny little city on the side of an unimportant river in Italy. Five hundred fifty years later, Rome got its first king. His name was Octavian. Actually known as Augustus. That was the king when Jesus was born. Now, normally I have a PowerPoint so I could point to the list of kings of Rome. But this prophecy is about the 11th horn. That little horn. His name is Domitian. Domitian was the 11th king of Rome. He was the first king to systematically attack the Christians. He made Christianity illegal. It was him who had John sent to Patmos. This is a historical fact. It says he was very boastful. Domitian was so arrogant, he demanded to be called my Lord God, Domitian. That's speaking boastfully. It says he knocked down three of the other horns. Now, bear with me, this is a little bit complicated, but this is exactly what happened. Nero, the fifth emperor, died.
Le cinquième empereur,
he had no male children.
Il n'avait pas d'enfant.
So there was a big fight amongst his generals.
Alors, il y avait une grande bataille parmi ses généraux.
The most powerful was Vespasian.
Et le plus puissant des généraux s'appelait Aspasian.
He had surrounded Jerusalem.
Il avait entouré Jérusalem.
And he was fulfilling the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9.
Il est en train de accomplir la prophétie dans Daniel chapitre 9 en entourant Jérusalem.
He left for Jerusalem.
Il a quitté Jérusalem.
His oldest son Titus stayed behind to finish the destruction of Jerusalem.
Et son aîné est resté pour finir la destruction de Jérusalem.
While he was on his way, three other kings took power very briefly.
Okay, pendant ce temps-là, trois autres rois ont pris le pouvoir juste pour un petit temps.
The names are Galba, Otho, and Vitellius.
Le nom c'est Galba, Otho, and Vitellius.
Now, if this is overwhelming, get a copy of my book back there.
Si c'est un peu trop d'information, vous pouvez aussi prendre le livre qui est derrière.
So while Vespasian was coming back to Jerusalem, his other son, Domitian, he was helping to defeat these other three kings. The 11th king of Rome, the one who attacked the saints, and spoke boastfully.
Qui attaquait les saints et qui s'est vanté.
He took out three other kings.
Il a battu les trois rois.
Of his own country.
De son propre pays.
How often does that happen in history?
Est-ce que ça, combien de fois ça arrive où un roi bat le roi de son propre pays?
Never.
Ça n'arrive jamais.
And it says in the prophecy that he will change the set times. He will change the times.
Et c'est écrit dans la prophétie qu'il va changer le temps, la façon dont le temps se passait.
That's exactly what that arrogant man did.
Et c'est comme ça, c'est ce que cet homme arrogant a fait.
He said, from now on, it's not October.
C'est-à-dire, à partir d'aujourd'hui, c'est plus octobre.
It's called Domitian.
Maintenant, ça s'appelle Domitian.
What an arrogant person!
C'est une personne arrogante.
The prophecy also says he will change the laws. That's exactly what Domitian did. Rome had the greatest legal system ever. In fact, this country is ruled by Roman law. Domitian was so prideful, he replaced the Roman law with the Domitian law. When he died, they returned the month to be calling October, and they got rid of the Domitian law.
Okay, so the quand il est mort, on a changé le mois de mars en octobre, et ils se sont débarrassés de la loi Domitian, donc la loi romaine.
Put yourself in the mind of a Christian in the second century. They're told, you know, if you don't want me to put you in jail, just come here just offer a little sacrifice, burn a little incense, no big deal. Well, who put Rome over the church? God put Rome over the church. I'm sure they were encouraged to be faithful. Because the Christians knew how to count to 11. They knew exactly what was going on here. God rules the nations. You just might as well figure He rules the nations. And then there's Daniel chapter 8. Even better. Oh, and there's also Daniel 9, etc. Okay? Daniel 8 is the vision of a ram with two horns. And a goat with one horn who charges at the two-horned ram from the west. Daniel's in Susa, looking out over the canal towards the west. Now, the two-horned ram, that's Persia. Officially, Persia was like a dual empire of the Persians and the Medes. The Persians and the Medes, kind of like Austria-Hungary in World War I. Now, if you read the prophecy, it says it had one long horn and one short horn. And later the short horn grew longer than the other one. Did you ever see that happen? I never did. I can tell you exactly what it means. Before Cyrus, the Medes were the more powerful part. After Cyrus, the Persians were more powerful. Then it says, from the west. Almost like floating above the ground comes the one-horned goat, and he smashes and he attacks until he destroys the two-horned ram. I can tell you his name. I can tell you when he was born and when he died. His name is Alexander the Great. That's that powerful horn. 335 BC. He crossed from the west. Had 30,000 troops. Persia had 200,000 troops. 3 years later, the entire Persian Empire was destroyed by Alexander the Great. When Alexander came to Jerusalem, the Jewish scribes showed him a copy of Daniel. Josephus tells us this. Alexander the Great said, "You guys are okay." The Greeks treated the Jews very, very well. Until Antiochus Epiphanes. then if you read the prophecies, it says, at the height of his power, the horn was broken off. And in its place were four other horns. I can tell you exactly what happened, and I can tell you their names. Alexander the Great was only 35 years old when he died. His generals fought many battles. Guess how many empires emerged from Alexander's empire? Four, of course. Lysimachus, Antigonus, Ptolemy, I could tell you the names. But don't worry about their names. Now let's read a little bit from this prophecy. Let's read verses 9 through 12. Daniel 8, verse 9 through 12.
Daniel 8, verset 9 à 12.
Yeah.
De l'une d'elles sortit une petite corne qui s'agrandit beaucoup vers le midi, vers l'Orient et vers le plus beau des pays. Elle se leva jusqu'à l'armée des cieux et elle fit tomber à terre une partie de cette armée et des étoiles et les foula. Et elle s'éleva jusqu'au chef de l'armée, lui enleva le sacrifice perpétuel et renversa le lieu de son sanctuaire.
Yeah. Okay. So it says, out of one of those horns came a fifth horn.
C'est-à-dire, de cette corne, de cette corne est venue une cinquième horn.
The fifth horn was a man named Seleucus.
Et la cinquième corne, c'était un homme qui s'appelle Seleucus.
He was a general for Ptolemy.
C'était un général pour Ptolemy.
I'm sure you've heard of Cleopatra, yes? She was the last ruler who was descended from Ptolemy. So this guy, Seleucus, he conquered Syria. And he said, why should I give Syria to Ptolemy? So he started a fifth empire. And here's what it says about him. He grew to the south, to the east, and to the beautiful land. South and the beautiful land. So, Seleucus conquered Mesopotamia to the south, Persia to the east, and then the beautiful land. That's Canaan. Actually, it was his great-grandson who took Canaan. And he says, then came a terrible king. We know his name. It was Antiochus Epiphanes. What does Daniel say about Antiochus Epiphanes 400 years before he was there? He says, he set himself up to be as great as the Prince of Heaven. That is literally exactly what happened. He put a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies.
Il a mis une statue de Zeus dans le Saint des Saints.
And his face was on the statue.
Et sa tête était sur la statue.
Remember I said, this is why the book of Daniel was written, for that audience.
Et on sait que le livre de Daniel a été écrit pour encourager cette audience.
And it says here,
et il est dit,
he ended the daily sacrifice. He ended the daily sacrifice.
Qu'il a arrêté les sacrifices qui se faisaient chaque jour.
And truth was thrown to the ground.
Et la vérité a été bafouée.
That's exactly what Antiochus Epiphanes did.
Et ça, c'est exactement ce qu'il a fait.
If you were a Jew suffering this terrible persecution, would you have been tempted to think that God was no longer supporting his people?
Si tu étais un juif et tu partageais, tu traversais cette situation, est-ce que tu as été tenté de penser que Dieu vous a abandonné?
I'd be tempted.
Tu serais tenté.
But why did this happen?
Pourquoi ça s'est passé?
Had God abandoned his people?
Est-ce que Dieu avait abandonné ses enfants?
Why did this happen?
Pourquoi est-ce que ça s'est passé?
Because of rebellion. It says it right there. Because of rebellion.
Ça s'est passé à cause de la rébellion.
Because of whose rebellion?
À cause de la rébellion de qui?
Because of the Jews' rebellion. If we as God's people become prideful, if we forget his commands, if we act like we're God's gift to the world, he will discipline us. In fact, he already did. About 14 years ago, you know what I'm talking about. You think the church isn't doing well? The leadership, it's all out of control. God is no longer with us. But God disciplines those he loves. After this time of persecution, the Jews got their power back.
Les Juifs ont retrouvé leur pouvoir.
And they had their greatest time of glory ever since the time of David.
Et ils ont eu un temps de gloire le plus grand depuis le temps de David.
They were purified by this.
Ils ont été purifiés par cela.
God knows what he's doing a lot better than we do, okay?
Dieu sait ce qu'il est en train de faire plus que nous, nous le savons.
Now Daniel is broken apart. He's so emotional that these people were going to go through this.
Daniel était tellement émotif que son peuple allait traverser ces choses.
So he asked the angel, "How long?" The answer: 2,300 evenings and mornings.
Il a voulu savoir pendant combien de temps. On lui a dit 2,300 nuits et jours.
Just read the next two verses. 2,300 evenings and mornings. That's 1,150 days. 1,150. Yeah, 2,300 divided by 2. 1,150 days. Now, we know when the desecration of the temple happened. November 167 B.C.
Nous savons quand est-ce qu'on a, ils avaient désacré le temple, c'était novembre
167 B.C.
167 avant Jésus-Christ.
We also know when the Jews defeated Antiochus Epiphanes.
Nous savons aussi quand les Juifs ont battu Antiochus Epiphanes.
It was the Maccabees.
C'était les Maccabées.
If you have a Roman Catholic friend, you can borrow their Bible, you can read 1 Maccabees, you can read all about it.
Si tu as un ami catholique, tu peux emprunter leur Bible et lire Maccabées.
The Jews celebrate this, they call it Hanukkah.
Et les Juifs célèbrent ça, ils appellent ça Hanukkah.
The exact day is December 25th, 164 B.C.
La date exacte, c'est
164 B.C.
164 avant Jésus-Christ.
3 years, 1.5 months.
3 années et 1 mois et demi.
1,150 days.
1,150 jours.
Exactly as Daniel had prophesied 400 years before the event.
Exactement comme Daniel avait prophétisé 400 ans avant.
That's pretty amazing. God rules the nations. Now, if you read the rest of the prophecy, it says that God will sit in judgment on Antiochus Epiphanes. And God will come and save his people. Now, my goal is to finish in 10 minutes. Because it's almost 5 o'clock already. But I have to do Daniel 9. Oh my goodness. Now, it's 537 BC. Daniel's been in captivity for 69 years.
Daniel a été captif pendant 69 ans.
He's an old man.
Il est un vieil homme.
He's still faithful.
Mais il est toujours fidèle.
In fact, Daniel chapter 6 happens after this.
Daniel chapitre 6 arrive après cela.
That's the thing with Daniel in the lion's den. So Daniel was having a quiet time reading Jeremiah. Either chapter 23 or 27, I don't know which. Because in both chapters, God promises 70 years. You know that great scripture that says, I know the future I have for you, you know, if you come to me, and you know that one, I've got all kinds of plans for you, you know that one? We love that. It's really encouraging. But if you read the scripture, he says, but you have to wait for 70 years. For the blessing to come. Oh, that changes my understanding of that scripture a little bit, you know? So Daniel says, it's been 69 years. God, let's get going. I love the prayer. You can read it. And Daniel receives his answer. And it says 70 sevens.
Ça dit 77.
Not 70 years, but 7 times 70 years.
Ça dit pas 70 ans, mais 70 fois 7.
Then God will save his people.
Et après, Dieu va sauver son peuple.
Let's read verses 24 and 25 of Daniel 9.
On va lire versets 24 et 25 de Daniel 9.
Okay. Yeah. Verse 24 and 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
70 semaines ont été fixées sur ton peuple et sur ta ville sainte pour faire cesser les transgressions et mettre fin au péché, pour expirer l'iniquité et amener la justice éternelle, pour sceller la vision et le prophète pour oindre le saint des saints. Sache-le donc et comprends. Depuis le moment où la parole a annoncé que Jérusalem sera rebâtie, jusqu'à loin, au conducteur, il y a 7 semaines et 62 semaines. Les places et les fossés seront rétablis, mais un des temps fâcheux.
You know, when Daniel says it's going to happen,
ce que Daniel entend dire qu'il va se passer,
it happens exactly like he said.
C'est passé exactement comme il a dit ça allait se faire.
70 times 7, that's 490.
70 fois 7, c'est 490.
490 years from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem.
Il y a 499 ans depuis la décision de rebâtir Jérusalem.
That decree wasn't issued until 60 years after Daniel died.
Cette loi n'a été donnée que 60 ans après que Daniel était mort.
The year is 558 B.C. 558. Excuse me. Yeah, 558 B.C.
L'année c'est 558 ans avant Jésus-Christ.
Sorry. 458 B.C.
458 ans avant Jésus-Christ.
You can read about it in Ezra chapter 7.
Vous pouvez lire ça dans Ezra chapitre 7.
The seventh year of Artaxerxes.
C'est la septième année de Xerxès.
This is the decree that led to Nehemiah rebuilding the city.
Et ça, c'est la décision qui avait amené, qui avait dirigé pour que Nehemiah rebâtisse la cité.
All right, so subtract 490 from 458. I'm a chemistry professor. For me, that's easy. It's negative 32. Minus 32. That means 32 A.D. No, 33 A.D. Because the calendar went from 1 B.C. to 1 A.D. There was no year zero. So when is the Messiah going to come to Jerusalem?
Alors, quand est-ce que le Messie arrivera à Jérusalem?
When is he going to finish transgression and put an end to sin?
Quand est-ce qu'il va finir avec le péché et la punition?
When is he going to bring in everlasting righteousness and put an end to prophecy?
Quand est-ce qu'il va emmener la justice éternelle et arrêter les prophéties?
About 33 AD.
Ça se passera dans...
This tells me two things absolutely for sure. The Bible is from God. But more importantly for this afternoon, God rules the nations. Be faithful to him.
Soyez fidèle à lui.
Don't just have faith in him.
N'ayez pas seulement la foi en lui.
Be faithful to him.
Mais soyez aussi fidèle à lui.
That's the message of Malachi.
Ça, c'est le message de Malachi.
They had faith in God, but they weren't faithful to God.
Ils avaient la foi en Dieu, mais ils n'étaient pas fidèles à Dieu.
But God rules the nations.
Mais Dieu dirige les nations.
And if he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, I don't have time for Daniel chapter 10 and 11, even though those are the greatest prophecies in the entire book. Trust me, I can tell you who the king of the north is. And I can tell you who the king of the south is. I can tell you the names of all those kings, the cities mentioned, and the battles fought. But the later part of Daniel 11 is about Antiochus Epiphanes with a lot more detail, every single bit of it, as recorded in the book of Maccabees. But you're just going to have to trust me. I better get a copy of my book. We're going to finish in Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. This is the most encouraging part of the book. Yeah, 2 through 4.
Deux à quatre.
Yeah.
Ok. Ok. Plusieurs de ceux qui dorment dans la poussière de la terre se réveilleront et les uns pour la vie éternelle et les autres pour le fort, pour la fonte éternelle. Ceux qui auront été intelligents verront comme la splendeur du ciel, et ceux qui auront enseigné la justice à la multitude brilleront comme les étoiles, et toujours, à toujours et à perpétuité. Toi, Daniel, tiens secret ces paroles et scelle le livre jusqu'au son de la fin. Plusieurs allèrent alors le vivant et la connaissance augmentera.
Remember, I said Daniel in the Old Testament, Revelation in the New Testament. That's illustrated here. That's illustrated here. The first 20 chapters of Revelation is about things that happen in the very near future. Just read Revelation 1, verse 1. It says, these visions are about things that will happen very soon. So much for all these preachers who say, you know, it's happening now. Branham, you know, I'm whatever, Branham. But then the last two chapters of Apocalypse is a vision of the end time. Same thing in Daniel. Chapter 12, end time. Chapter 12 of Daniel, end time. So what's going to happen at the end?
It
says we're going to rise from the dead. There's going to be a judgment. Some to everlasting life.
Certains pour la vie éternelle.
Others to everlasting destruction.
D'autres pour la destruction éternelle.
But he tells us,
mais ça nous dit,
those of us who are wise,
que ceux d'entre nous qui sont sages,
that we can lead many others to righteousness.
Alors nous pouvons entraîner beaucoup d'autres personnes dans la droiture.
If you'll be faithful to God, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God will make you like a star in the heavens forever. But there's a lot more room up there. Your neighbor, your co-worker, your mother, your sister, those are the ones that you can bring with you. You can lead them to righteousness. I believe that at the end of time, I will rise from the dead.
Je crois que à la fin du temps, je vais
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if they've been killed in those flames, they would rise from the dead. I believe that I will shine like a star forever. Why do I believe that? Well, Daniel said it would be the 11th king. That he would be boastful. That he would take out three other kings. That he would attack the saints. That he would change the times and the laws. Daniel says it happens. Daniel said a goat with a prominent horn will, Alexander will defeat Persia. And when he dies, he'll be replaced by four kings and then a fifth one. And a descendant of that fifth one will attack the saints, desecrate the sanctuary for 1,150 days. And he also said, 490 years after the decree to restore and build Jerusalem, the Messiah will come to Jerusalem and bring in righteousness. If Daniel says it, it happens. And Daniel says to you that you will rise from the dead. You will face judgment. But if you trust in God, you're going to be with Him forever. Surely you can remain righteous. Surely you can trust in God. Surely God can take care of the church here in Congo. Because God rules the nations. Do not fear. Thank you. Good job.
Merci beaucoup.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. Good job.
Est-ce qu'on peut être un peu plus fort que ce message?